If you would, grab your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 8. We've been doing a series on the faith of a soldier, because, you know, we see in the context of Matthew 8, a centurion, a Roman soldier approaching Jesus, Jesus saying he hadn't seen such great faith, no doubt, in Israel. We can learn from the context of what's being said because we can draw from that. Faith is an important, vital element in all of our lives. Faith doesn't have to be a mystery. Faith doesn't have to be a guess. Faith is necessary for every facet of your Christian walk. You can't get saved without faith. For the Bible tells us we are saved by grace through faith, amen, not of works, lest any man should boast. Can I get an amen to that? And again, on a side note, please, anything I say, don't take it. Challenge it. Challenge everything I say. Challenge everything you hear people say with the Word of God. Because at the end of the day, it's not what people say. It's what the Bible says. Amen. Amen. And so faith is an element, is a force, is a strength factor in our walk with God that enables us to get saved, enables us to receive from God, Hebrews 6:12 and Hebrews 11:30, verse 33, that we inherit the promises of God through faith and patience. We find out that faith is a shield to quench the fiery darts when the enemy's attacking you. We find that faith is the key element to bring you a victory, for whosoever is born of God overcomes this world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even your faith, 1 John 5. Faith is so important that Hebrews tells us in chapter 11 that you can't even please God without faith, for it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So you can't get saved, you can't please God, you can't receive from God without this idea of faith. And faith is not a truck that backs up and gives it to you while you sit in a lazy easy chair watching infomercials saying, well, God wants me to have it. No. We have to learn to operate by the process of faith. Paul says, I fought a good fight, I have kept the faith. There's a challenge. The enemy doesn't want you to receive from God. The enemy doesn't want you to please God. The enemy doesn't want you to be saved. The enemy doesn't want you to go to heaven. The enemy doesn't want your children serving God. The enemy doesn't want your body healed and whole and confusing the doctor. The enemy doesn't want your finances to be blessed so that not only do you have more than enough, but you're advancing the kingdom of God with your tithes and offerings. The enemy doesn't want you to have the mind of God to solve the problems of people around you so that you can guide them in the wisdom of God to help them to be who God's called them to be. The enemy doesn't want you, but you to do that, you have to operate by faith. Hebrews 11, these men and women, they were men and women of faith. And though they didn't all receive everything they were believing for, it wasn't because their faith was weak. It's that because the carnality of their body, they had captured onto a vision of something that was so longer and so much bigger than them that they could not in the natural live through the process, but they were part of the key process to see Jesus coming. Can I get an amen? Amen. Faith is important. Hebrews 11, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen in the natural, which you don't. And we see through the process, and we've been talking, and we discussed this 2 weeks ago, and I want to basically come back, so I don't know if this is a prequel or a sequel or whatever you want to call it, but I'm backing up a little bit from an earlier message that we had done just 2 weeks ago. And as Matthew 8 says, verse 8, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, for my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. Verse 10, when Jesus heard this, he marveled, and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Jesus recognized this as faith. This was a soldier that understood warfare. This is a soldier that understood the command. He was basically, we've talked about this earlier in quick review, that he was in the position saying, it's not about me, it's all about the priority of your word. And the authority of your word overrides the condition of my servant. And so because I understand authority, the moment I speak something as a command in a position of authority, those who are under my authority have to do what I ask them to do. It's the element of the kingdom or element of a military position. And so he was saying, I understand that this is, you are in a position of such authority that you don't even have to be there. You just have to say it. And that which is attacking my servant has to let him go. Amen. That the reality of the fact that my servant is being sick cannot overpower the reality of the truth that you are the final authority of healing. It wasn't about us. And that's a good thing for all of us, because the tactic of the devil is to get us to think that it's about us. He gets us to review why we shouldn't receive the blessing, why we shouldn't have our prayers answered, why we shouldn't, oh, maybe God gave that to you so he can get glory and he doesn't want to answer your prayer. That's a bunch of garbage. That's not what the Bible says. Challenge it with the Bible. John 15, verse 7, 8, and 16 tells us that what gives glory to your Father is that you produce much fruit. And the context of that is the answer to your prayer. Do you not realize it glorifies God to answer your prayer when it's in alignment with the word? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you shall ask what you will, it shall be done. It's that context that Jesus is saying, I want you to have what I'm paying for. Well, and we're not talking about you wanting what doesn't belong to you. That's greed. We're talking about you wanting, you having, you demonstrating, you sharing what God has already purchased for you through the blood of his son on the cross of Calvary. If it belongs to you through the Calvary, don't you want it in this side of eternity? We can wait till we get to heaven. And oh, when I get to heaven, I won't have to deal with that. No, you won't, but you can bring heaven to earth. Can I get an amen? Jesus, in his prayer, when he was encouraging the disciples to pray, part of that prayer was, thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth. Talk to me, church. On earth as it is in heaven. This soldier understood authority. This soldier understood warfare. Paul understood these contexts. That's why he used things like, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. Paul understood these things. That's why he says in the Word of God in the epistles that, listen, when there is an attack of the enemy, stand, having done all, stand and put on the armor of God. And part of that armor is not just a shield of faith. He says, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Say, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, if it was modern day, it might not be a sword. It might be an Uzi, but we'll stay with the text that it's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Because faith comes from the Word, Romans 10, 17. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. Can I get an amen? Amen. One of the things that I've noticed in my walk with God and also in ministering to people is many times people get into a situation, sometimes it's their own problem. Let's be honest. Sometimes it's not God, it's not the devil, it's just us. We blame the devil. Oh, the devil's been working on me. I just had a horrible day. What happened? My boss just chewed me out. The devil is a liar. He is a liar. But your boss chewed you out because you didn't show up for 3 days. Come on, somebody. Sometimes the problems we deal with were things that we created. And it's easy to blame the devil or somebody else. Devil's trying to rob me. No, 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 no. You just cussed out your boss. You wonder why you don't have a job anymore. But there's some stuff you could do absolutely right, everything right, and still deal with storms. Jesus said, in this world, you'll deal with trials and tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome. So storms come. So it's not unusual to deal with a storm, but it is unusual from the plan of God for us to be defeated by it. It's not unusual for a giant to try to step into your promised land, but it's unusual for you to allow him to stay and you stay out. But for us to fight correctly, we have to learn to not only have the shield of faith and the armor of God, we need to take the sword of the Spirit. One of the challenges I see, if I can just talk for a few seconds, heart to heart, one of the challenges I see is people go to pray, but they pray without faith. They think they're in faith, but they're not in faith. So many times people pray out of fear. They're just hoping God hears it. They just hope something changes. They just hope what they see is not going to happen, and they pray out of fear. They're not in faith. And God doesn't answer prayers by fear. He answers prayers that are operating by faith. God doesn't answer prayers because there's tears, and there's nothing wrong to cry when you're praying and seeking God. But tears don't emphasize the power of your prayer. I've seen people cry and wail and pray, but in the end, they weren't praying to find the mind of God. They were trying to pray to convince God to let them do what they really wanted to do. The alignment is always has to be in alignment with the Word of God. Can I get an amen? And that's why when you pray, thank you for the three people that believe in the Word of God. And we're working the rest of them. Thank you. We'll get you moving a little closer. And so anyway, the alignment always has to be in alignment with the Word of God, because anytime you pray a prayer that's below the Word of God, the standard of God, God cannot do anything about it. Because the moment you pray below what he says, that tells him that you don't believe what he said is the final authority. And the Bible says that he watches over his word to perform it. Psalms 119, the word of God is established forever in heaven. And so when we begin to get into the word, we got to find the word to line up our prayers with. We can tell God all day about our problems, but we never tell our problems anything about our God. And so we have to find our sword. Say, I have to find my sword. The sword is the word of God. The sword is the word of God. The sword is the word of God. But it's not something that you just hear once or you can read or you've known about. Well, I got a bad doctor's report. And I'm praying that God will heal me. What's your verse? I don't know, but I know somewhere in this Bible it's got about healing. Because I got a sister and she got healed. And I know God healed her. He'll heal me. I just don't know. No, if you don't have a sword, you don't have a word. It's amazing how many people pray without any specific references. They say they're believing, but if you're believing and you don't have any scripture, then you're just hoping. You're not, yeah, and hope is good, but hope has to come alive in the context of faith. That means you need to have what the word says. When Jesus was being attacked by the enemy in the wilderness, what was his response? It is written. The enemy's attempt was to get him to question his identity, because every temptation started with, if you are the Son of God. And Jesus never defended who he was because he knew who he was. Right. When you know who you are, you don't need to defend it. You don't need to promote it. You don't need to confirm it. That's why I always laugh in the church world because, and again, no disrespect to people because I love people, but you know, there's people that can be strange. I mean, we all have certain issues we're dealing with. I mean, insecurity in the church world is a big one. And so people pass out titles like they pass out candy. Yeah, I'll see people with 25 different titles. I mean, I was going to a restaurant once many years ago, and there's this flyer on the wall about a church doing their thing, and praise God, they're promoting it. Praise God, they're having an event. And then below was the name of the pastor and the first lady. Nothing wrong with that. But under their name was literally in small print about 15, 20 titles. I said, I'm a firm believer that if you are, you don't need to tell me you are, because I'll figure it out on my own. Right? If you're generous, you don't have to tell me you're generous. If you're blessed, you don't have to tell me you're blessed. If you're kind, you don't have to tell me you're kind. If you're anointed, you don't have to tell me you're anointed, because the anointing will be obvious in your life. You don't have to tell me you're a prophet or an apostle, a pastor, a teacher, or an evangelist. You don't have to. When people come up and begin to introduce themselves to me in the context of their titles, the first one tells me that they don't believe it themselves. Okay, I stepped on someone's toe, so I apologize for that. Love me, I'll love you. Pray for me, I'll pray for you, and we'll all be good. But do you see my point? If you're really something, you don't have to tell people you're something. They will see it or know it in the process of time. And so when we get back and when we begin to pray, we need to begin to start with the word. It's a sword, the sword of the Spirit. But many people are trying to fight with somebody else's sword. They don't have a sword. They're trying to pray and live out the pattern that God gave somebody else, but God hasn't spoken to them. And when you begin to do the to-dos of somebody else, that is the sword that you have not proven. For David told King Saul when he tried to give him his armor, I can't take this to fight that giant because I haven't proven them yet. David could have taken that armor and walked out and would have resolved a lot of personal issues for David in the moment. Number one, what would it have done? It would have validated him to his brothers. You know, the brother that told him, why are you here? We know you. You got this attitude. You're wrong. You need to get back with those few sheep. You're not important. It would have immediately validated him amongst his friends and his brothers. How many people have someone close to you? Don't raise your hand. They might be sitting with you. Someone close to you that loves you but doesn't show you any respect, any validation. You talk about great things and they look at you and say, yeah, right. It happened in the life of Jesus, even to some of his own brothers. Search it out. Even to some of his own brothers. James is one of them, who did not believe who he was. You can't. Jesus said it this way, a prophet is without honor except in his own town. So you try to convince. Sometimes we'll spend all our lives trying to validate ourselves to those closest to us, and we'll lose destiny on the way. David said, he could put on that armor because only the king had that type of armor. The moment he walked out, he would have looked like a king. And by all terms and understanding, he could and should. That armor really belonged to him because already before in the timeline of his life, he had already been anointed by the prophet Samuel to be king. And so why wouldn't he have on the armor of the king? Because he was already in the aroma of the anointing of the king. Why should he put on the armor? But he had not proven the armor of the king yet. He was still at a whole... Some of our problems, let me preach for a second. Some of our problems is we're going to battle trying to impress people in the battle. And when you go into a battle trying to impress those who aren't even able to get into the battle themselves, you will end up on the scrap heap of life wondering what has happened to me. I thought this worked. I thought that was supposed to change. I thought I was supposed to resist the devil and he would flee. But you never submitted yourself under the mighty hand of God to find out what your God wanted you to do. All you were doing is pretending to be somebody so you could feel the emptiness of an insecurity because you have not been with God who will... Come on, somebody. Because there's some battles you're going to have to fight in life. You cannot go to war trying to impress your neighbor. This is not about them. They might like you. They might dislike you. They might be talking about you. But when you go to war, you have to forget about them. And you got to focus on God, what he is telling you to do. And you got to focus on the enemy who's trying to oppose you. And you got to operate with the weapons that you have proven. David didn't try to imitate, try to be something he was not, because he could have looked good from the natural, but he'd been dead by the end of the day. We have to take the sword. I can't use my neighbor's sword. I have to have my sword. Oh, I got a scripture, and we can all quote scriptures. We can get in our Bibles and cross-reference and find a scripture. We can get on our phones and Google and be able to read a scripture. But that's not the importance of what's happening here, because all we're doing is getting information. Information is so relevant. Information is so important, because without the information, you can't have revelation. Did you hear me? Without information, you can't. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will not speak of himself, but will remind you of the things I said. But if there's nothing for you to remind you, he has nothing to do. Right. You need the information. Say, I need the information. But you don't go to war with the information. That's not a sword yet. That is the elements to make a sword. It's like the ingredients in your pantry to make a meal. You might have a pantry or a kitchen full of ingredients. You got sugar, you got brown sugar, you have flour, you have wheat, whatever it might be. I don't cook or bake, so please stay with me. But you might have everything you need to make a gourmet meal, but it's not a gourmet meal till it's brought together correctly. Someone needs to prepare it correctly. But when you take the elements of the ingredients of a gourmet meal and put it in the hands of a great chef who's able to prepare it correctly, you can have a feast that will last you for days. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm talking about. Psalms 23, he prepares a table. He prepares a table for me in the midst of my enemies. The greatest chef you can find is the Holy Spirit. He will reveal the word of God, that information that you've been storing. That's why faith, Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. What are you doing? I'm just getting information. I'm just getting information. I'm getting information of the word. I am storing it in my mind. I'm getting information. But in the process of getting information, it might be the first day, might be the third day. I don't know. It's different times, different people, different ways. But in the process of information, it becomes a revelation. Deuteronomy 29:29, that the secret things belong to the Lord. Jesus talked about the mysteries or the secrets of the kingdom. Deuteronomy 29:29, and the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things revealed belongs to you. See, the moment it becomes a revelation to you, the moment it becomes alive to you, and that word that was information becomes a revelation, all of a sudden it's the ownership coming from God saying, now I'm revealing it to you, now it's yours. Simon, who do you say that I am? You're the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One. And Jesus said, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood or people haven't told you that, but my Father has revealed that to you from heaven. Upon this rock, which means revelation, upon the revelation of who I am, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. The gates of hell will not prevail against the revelation of my identity. Why is it so important to understand the identity of Jesus? Because you are part of the body of Christ. Can I get an amen? Jesus, I am the vine, you are the branch. When I know who he is, I know what fruit I'm supposed to be producing. When I'm connected to an apple tree, I should be producing some apples. Something wrong if I go out to my apple tree and 3/4 of it got apples and 1/3 of it or 1/4 of it has strawberries. I'm like, what? That is not right. That's not the way the system works. But when I am connected to the vine, everything that's in the vine flows to the branch, and the fruit of his word, Mark 4, Matthew 13, produces 160, 30-fold. It produces regardless of the surrounding, because the production of the seed is the word of God with understanding in your heart. And you can stand in the midst of darkness but have light on the inside. Rise and shine, for your light, Isaiah 60, has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Say, I'm getting my sword. I'm getting my sword. So when the word becomes alive, it becomes a sword to us. Our sword. See, don't go to battle with an idea. You go to battle with a revelation. What does God want me to do in this situation? David found out the hard way, because one time they were being attacked, and David said, God, what should I do? And God said, I want you to go out and attack them, challenge them. And when God gave him the instruction, the direction, what did he do? He went after them and got victory. Short time after, the same army rose up again, and David said, oh, I know what to do now, because I know what I did before. And this time, I don't need to ask God. I could take God out of the picture, because I know what I think he's going to say. And David went out there and got his tail kicked. And he came back and said, God, why in the world did we lose? And God said, I never told you to go to the second time. See, we want to do things that we think works. What works is hearing what God is telling you to do in that moment. Can I get an amen? Can I get a better amen? Which leads me to, that was all introduction, by the way, which leads me to, once we have a sword, we still shouldn't go out to battle with it yet. A good soldier proves the sword. He trains with the sword. He works, does he not? He works with it. He doesn't just say, ooh, I got a sword, that's mine, puts in sheath, let's go to battle. No, you better know how that sword fits in your hand. You better know how it cuts. You better know how to move it. You better know how to work it. First Timothy chapter 4, Amplified Translation. On the other hand, discipline, train yourself for the purpose of godliness, keeping yourself spiritually fit. For physical training is of some value, but godliness, spiritual training, is of value in everything and in every way, since it holds the promise for the present life and for the life to come. Yes. Notice, let me read that again. Discipline, train yourself for the purpose of godliness, keeping yourself spiritually fit. Don't you love people that are spiritually fit? Don't you love people that are physically fit? You look at them and say, man, I could be like that if I didn't eat those donuts every morning. Start going to the gym. Nobody wants the price, but we all want the benefits. So we try everything. We buy those infomercials, and in 90 days we can go from there to there. Never worked. I got boxes of them. We can buy, you get this pill, and all of a sudden it just makes you super better than it. And no, that don't work either, because it doesn't last. Everything people try. You know what? Because we want the result, but we don't want the price. And then we can get mad at people who paid the price. Don't get mad at them. They paid the price. Well, I just don't know if I can live like that. I like my apple pie. Eat your apple pie. Enjoy your apple pie. Just don't get mad at the people who don't eat it. Right? Why can't we all just love each other? You know what I mean? If you want to eat apple pie, praise God. Bless it. Enjoy it. You can enjoy it, because there is some good pleasure in eating those desserts. Can I get an amen from somebody? I'll look this way. But don't get mad when it's time for you to step out in the pool. And Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so starts strutting their stuff, and you're like, that's so not of God at all. Hey, That's probably what they're thinking when they look at us. Not a God at all. That's not God. But there's a price. Hey, there's a price. We should get mad at people who are on fire for God. We should get mad at people who are operating by faith. We should get mad at people who are seeing God answer prayers. We should look at that and say, what are they doing? What was Paul doing? What was the centurion soldier doing that enabled him to get the attention of Jesus to have victory in the battles of life? We need a sword. Say, I need a sword.
I need a sword.
One of the ways, and again, no message by anyone gives you the complete entirety of any subject. You need to understand that. I look at messages and revelations kind of like bricks in a wall or a piece of a puzzle. You don't walk away with one message and go build a house on that one brick. It takes a process. But I want to give you a very important brick, and that's speaking, confessing the Word of God. Because as you begin to speak the word, this is where people in the church world in some sectors have really got confused, because we begin to understand that Proverbs says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. James talks about the direction of a ship or the direction of a horse based on what's in the bit, and that's how words are. And the Bible talks about the power of words, but some people will start taking, and they'll do some weird stuff with it. I mean, weird stuff. Why in the church world do we get weird people? Maybe because nobody here, you mean, because usually weird people don't last here too long. We send them to other churches. We got a whole list. If you're weird, no, I'm joking. I was on Facebook once, and this guy, and he was a minister, and he was doing a live broadcast, and he was driving his car, and he says, come on, I want everybody to say it with me, BMW, BMW, BMW. Come on, let's just say it, BMW. You're going to get a BMW by the end of it. I was like, God don't mind you having a BMW. Don't get me wrong. He don't mind you having things. He just doesn't want things to have you. But some weird stuff has been happening in the church world. God doesn't want you to go around just saying a certain phrase, because that's almost like New Age mind over matter. What we're talking about in confession is that confessing of sins or mind over matter. It's the word of God over the situation. Begin to look at the things that are not seen, the truth of God's word that's to be revealed in your life, instead of building our life on just the tangible things we see in the moment, because the moment doesn't last, nor do the situations at hand. I don't know what I'm going to do. God knows what to do. And you might need his wisdom. And let me just give you a reference point, because I believe in the power of getting the word. Joshua 1, 6 through 10 talks about getting the word day and night, meditating, having before your eyes and in your mouth, speaking the word, because faith comes by hearing, getting the word, reading the word, just not listening to preachers, and praise God, you're listening to preachers, but just the fact of getting alone with the word and speak the word of God, speak the word of God in your heart, not just randomly, specifically. Let me give you, and we won't have this on a screen, and you can get these references on our app in the notes section, but let me give you just one of my faith confessions, because what I'll do is I'll take the context, the concept of what those scriptures are saying, and I'll speak them over my life. Where do I get that? From the Word of God. Challenge everything. I said, challenge it, because the Bible's the one that says, let those who are weak say, I am strong. It didn't say, I'm going to be strong. It's not saying, I don't feel any weakness. No, he didn't say, feel strong. He said, be strong. Yeah. Let those who are weak say, I am strong in the strength of the Lord. Yeah. This is not make-believe. This is not make-up stuff. This is not be weird about stuff. This is about saying what God's word says. Amen. And getting the information. And in the process of getting the information, you'll get the revelation. Yeah. And in the process of getting the revelation, you begin to exercise that word in your life. Don't wait to a Goliath before you start practicing with your sling. David proved his sling. He proved it. He proved it before he got to Goliath. He proved it before he, because we know about the lion and the bear. But I guarantee you, when he saw the lion and the bear, that's not the first time he picked up his sling. It might have been a coyote. I don't know. Before that, it might just been a target. What was he doing? He was practicing. Got to move to the right. Got to move to the left. Got to snap the wrist a little better. He was practicing. So that when whatever came his way, because the devil doesn't show you when it's coming. And a lion and a bear showed up one day, and what did he do? Knocked him down. And what did he do? He knocked them both down. But he still was learning. Because in the context of his story to Saul, check it out. He said, and I went to get that little lamb, that little sheep of my father's out of his mouth, and it rose up against me. And I grabbed it by its, you don't grab a lion by its whiskers unless you're caught off guard. And he had learned that, I can knock it down. But then he learned later that, after I knock it down, I have to cut his head off. Right? Because that's what he told Goliath. This day the Lord's going to put you in my hands and I will take your head off. Why? Because he, in the back of your mind, he's saying, I learned the hard way. Once I knock you down, the fight's not over. I have to eliminate you from ever coming back. And some swords you don't get till you're in the battle. I'm telling you, you don't walk around with a concordance and a King James on a bridge and walk around in life. No, no, no. When the devil hits you unexpected, you should allow the word that's been already planted, that sword of the Spirit that's already in you, will rise up. He'll remind you it will rise up. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so the purpose of the training is to be prepared so when the unexpected enemy shows up, you're not going, oh my goodness, I should have practiced more. That's like a pop quiz at school. No one liked pop. Can you imagine? We're having a pop final. This is 90% of your grade. You will fail everything if you miss this. No one likes pop quizzes. No one likes pop quizzes in life. The devil doesn't give you a 3-day warning. He doesn't give you a notice. And you don't need to wait till the doctor says you have 2 days to live. And you start saying, I know the pastor was saying there's some scripture in here. That's like trying to get into a baseball game and hit a home run and you've never even practiced. That's like trying to get on the NBA so you can score, but you've never played basketball. It takes some preparing. It takes some training. It takes some proving at different levels. Can I get an amen? This is practical. Some people just ignore their faith until they have a life-threatening situation. Okay, God, speak to me. Do I marry that person or do I take this job and go out of town? Lord, speak to me. I'm not feeling anything. So my assumption is because I don't feel anything, everything's okay with you, I'll just do what I want. I don't know why that marriage didn't work out. I don't know why that job fell apart. You didn't hear from God. I tried. I gave him 30 seconds. Kumbaya, Jesus. Listen, don't wait for major tests before you begin to prove the word of God in your life. That's why even on the practical side, even in offerings, we encourage you, don't be under pressure. Just pray, Lord, what do you want me to do? It doesn't mean you're going to hear a voice. Don't look for voices. The devil can mess you up that way. But look for the Lord just to impress on your heart. And if he doesn't, don't worry about it. But it gets you into the practice mode. So when the word of God, when you have a situation and the devil starts rising up, all you have to do is, oh, I got this sword. I know what to do with this sword. Jesus didn't say, devil, that's a good question. Let me run home because I think I got a few scripts back there. There's one about Isaiah. I think I got to go back. You stay right there. No, he didn't have time to do that. All he had time is, it is written. Okay, so here's one of my training. This is not going to be on the screen. This is one of my training, proving verses for healing, okay? And this is how I do it. You can do it any way you want. This is not the only way to do it. This is just the way I do it. So, and there's all different topics. Your wisdom and knowledge for decision-making, favor, blessing, peace, whatever it might be. The promises of God in the New Testament are yea and amen, which means approved, and so be it to you. But we have to receive them by faith. We're not going to be an army of people that we just come into church on Sunday, come and go and never see life change. God wants you to bring heaven into your earth, your world. Okay, so here's how I do it. After I'm in, spend time with the presence of God. And this is, I mean, obviously there's other things. You got praise and worship, you got praying in the Spirit, all this. But when it comes to confession, I begin to decree over my life and over my family's life. I decree that sickness and disease cannot stand nor stay in my presence or in my body. I am the healed of the Lord because it is written in Matthew 15:26, healing is bread for God's covenant children. Sickness and disease cannot stand nor stay in my presence or in my body. I am the healed of the Lord because it is written in Psalms 107:20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Sickness and disease cannot stand nor stay in my presence or in my body. I am the healed of the Lord because it is written in Exodus 23:25 that you will take sickness away from the midst of me. Sickness and disease cannot stand stand nor stay in my presence or in my body. I am the healed of the Lord, because Psalms 103 tells me you are the God who heals me of all diseases. Sickness and disease cannot stand nor stay in my presence or in my body. I am the healed of the Lord, because it is written in 1 Peter 2:24, by whose stripes you were healed. Sickness and disease cannot stand nor stay in my presence or in my body. I am the healed of the Lord, because it is written in Exodus 15:26, you are Jehovah Rapha, for you are the Lord that healeth me. Sickness and disease cannot stand nor stay in my presence or in my body. I am the healed of the Lord, because it is written in Proverbs 4, verse 22, that your word is life unto those that find them, and health and medicine to all their flesh. Sickness and disease cannot stand nor stay in my presence or in my body. I am the healed of the Lord, because it is written. And you just keep going. I like my last one. Sickness and disease cannot stand or stay in my presence or in my body. I'm the healed of the Lord, because you said so. Because you said so. Because you said so. Say, because God said so. You know, you start doing that on a regular basis, whatever area, it might be in your finances, it might be in your business. You start speaking the word of God and call the order of God into your business, things are going to begin to change. It's not overnight, but in the process, it's in the process, it'll begin to work, because the word works. You know what happens? All of a sudden, you begin to have that so strong in your spirit, you'll start having so much confidence in you, you'll begin to look for a fight. Come on, somebody. I remember years ago when I was in college, my dad was a senior pastor, and he had just hired two Bible school graduates to work at the church, and one of them had like a third or fourth degree black belt in Kung Fu. We didn't know that at the time, but when you're 19 years old, that's cool. And we got him to do side classes, so we started training. We were training on a regular basis, and this guy didn't look like he was much. He's tall, skinny, lanky. And we're like, okay. And my brother, who's 4 years older than me, he was like, hey, let's see what you can do. And he pushed me into him. Before I knew it, he hit me 3 or 4 times, and I was on my back. I don't know how he did it. He was fast. He was efficient. He had trained. And so we just started training, because it was just fun when you're 19. You know what I mean? You just feel you're invincible, and why not? But I ran into a little problem. The more I trained in the martial arts, and this is not me for or against it by any means, and there's some weird stuff in that world too, okay? But he was a Christian, he was on staff, it was that kind of vibe. And so, but the problem that I began to face personally is the more I trained, the better I got. The better I became, the more efficient I became, the better I got in that sport or in that area, the more confident I got. The more confident I got, the more I was looking for an opportunity. Stay with me. I'd be out just minding my own business with some friends, and someone would look over, and I'm like, I think I could take them. Let me see. Stay with me. Now, don't look at me that way. The more confident I became in that skill set, the more I wanted to prove or test my abilities on someone. You see the point? So I had to stop doing it, because the last thing you want is the pastor's son thrown in jail because he's fighting with people that you don't even know, because he just wanted to see if he could take them. Come on, somebody. Do you see my point? So the more confident I had in my ability to fight, the more I was looking for an opportunity. James chapter 1. My brethren, I hope this changes the way you look at this. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or challenges. Verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, the trying of your faith. One translation says the testing, the proving of your faith. What am I doing? I'm speaking the word. I'm getting that information and looking for the Holy Spirit to give me revelation. As I'm doing it, I am working that word. I'm developing that word on the inside. And you know what? You'll get confidence, and confidence brings you where that opportunity, you start looking for the enemy to do anything so you can put to test that faith that you've been building. You say, I don't know. Well, stay with me, because most of us read this scripture as we're trying to survive. When you look at life of trying to survive, you miss out on really what God's telling you. Because the Bible tells us that God doesn't want you to survive. He wants you to flourish. 1 John 5:4. 1 John 4:17. 1 John 4:4. 3 John 2. Romans 8. And that's just a few verses. 2 Corinthians 2:14, 1 Corinthians 15:57. All those are saying God wants you to win. God wants you to not dominate the space that belongs to somebody else, but when it comes to your world that you have authority and jurisdiction, and the devil begins to knock on your door, he shouldn't hear you screaming and running for the cabinet to hide. He should hear, that's my modern day sword right there. I got this new gun, and I've been practicing it. I've been practicing with it. I've been target shooting, but now someone's knocking on my door. Let's see how accurate I can shoot. Come on, somebody. You know you would do it. Devil, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian mom. I'll give you 30 seconds to repent and turn, or I'm going to introduce you to Jesus. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience, but let patience have her perfect work. Notice this, that you may be perfect, which means complete and entire, wanting nothing. Here's an NIV translation. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. That means I know what God said, and I'm not quitting till I get there. But it's taken long time, Abraham. It is, but God said it. Romans 4, I'm fully persuaded that if he made the promise, he is well able to keep it. That the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature, you may be complete, that you lack nothing. That's the target goal, not that you survive that one. Ooh, I was so tempted to do wrong. Whew, I'm glad I escaped that pit. I'm glad I escaped that trap. I'm glad I didn't fail that time. That's not what's happening here. God wants your faith to the place that when the enemy begins to rise up, you begin to say, oh, it's like that old whack-a-mole game. You remember that? The first time I thought of that in years. And that thing that pops its head up, and you got a big stick. And the moment it pops its head up, what's the go? Smack it back down. You don't get afraid. What do you? Smack it back down. And it becomes fun. And you start looking, just waiting. Why? Because you have a bigger stick. You have the Word of God. Because the goal is not for you to survive. The goal is for you to be complete, entire, mature, lacking. King James says, wanting nothing. Romans 12:2, last verse. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may, what's that word there? That you may prove. What was David's problem? He said, King, I can't take your sword. I have not proven it. But when I renew my mind with the word, as I speak the word, as I hear the word, as I renew my, guess what? I am proving that word in my life. So when the devil shows up, what are you going to do? Smile. James said, count it all joy. That means start laughing. Like David said, what's the reward to the guy who takes this giant down? You're thinking, oh, I just thought this was going to be a normal day. I didn't know this was going to be promotion day. This is going to be opportunity day. Because everyone who takes down, are you listening to me? Jesus, the one who said it, a strong man is secure with all his possessions until a stronger than he shows up, and then he has a right to bind him, Matthew 18:18. Then he has a right to bind him and then take his stuff. I thought I had enough stuff, but the devil keeps showing up. He's going to keep giving me more stuff. Come on, somebody. Because you don't fight to survive. You don't fight just to keep what you got. When you go to war, Lester Sumrall used to say it this way, never challenge a giant that doesn't have milk and honey. Never go to war till God tells you. And when God tells you, it'll be a giant that's got something that's connected to your promised land. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We're done. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. You are the healed of the Lord. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You are successful in everything you put your hands to. Are you listening to me? Get that word. Prove it in your life. And when the enemy rises up, you're not going to be looking for the fast list of everybody who can just help you. You're going to say, uh-uh, devil. You mess with the wrong person. They're going to have a sign in hell saying, don't go to that address. Don't mess with that person. Because you don't war after the flesh. Hallelujah. You don't war the way carnal, natural people do. No, you have the armor of God. You have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Would you be so kind to bow your head and close your eyes? If you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not asking if you know about God. I'm not asking you to join a church, denomination, or religion. I define religion as man's rules to get to God. I'm into a real relationship with Jesus, not into people trying to manipulate and control other people. Jesus is real. And in the way you process and the way you experience and the way you understand, if you don't know him that way, that he is real and that he's your Lord and Savior, then maybe you don't know him. You maybe just know about him. But I'm here to tell you that salvation is one of the greatest miracles, because it's God making Jesus real to you, and he comes into your heart, forgives you of your sins, brings you out of the kingdom of darkness into his family, the kingdom of light. That means free from hell, going to heaven, but also victory in life. Doesn't mean there's not challenges or battles, but it means God is on your side. A peace that exceeds your understanding. You can only imagine why some people in the world, why they drink so much and take so much drugs, is because that dark cloud and weight over their life. They just try to ignore it and numb themselves to it. But that doesn't solve it. It just makes it worse. Maybe that's where you're at. You do everything to numb yourself from the reality something's missing. And I'm telling you, there's a space on the inside of you that can only be filled by Jesus Christ. Revelation 3, Jesus said, I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice and open it up, I'll come in. Romans 10 says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We're going to pray a prayer together. And if you do not know him, or if at one time you did, but for whatever reason you've allowed stuff to come between you and God and your heart's not right, this is your moment. Today is the day for salvation. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one moving around, let's all pray this prayer together. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I repent of all my sins. I turn to you today. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day, rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me. Say, Jesus, I don't want a religion. I want a real relationship with you. So I open up the door of my heart and life, and I invite you in to be my Savior and my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, you say, Pastor, I know that was probably for other people too, but one thing I know, that prayer was for me today. Just so I know who I was praying with, at the count of three, I want you to simply lift your hand and look me in the eyes. One, two, three. Pastor, that was, thank you. I see the hand, a second hand. God bless you. I see that third hand. Anybody else? Over to my right. I see that. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Fourth hand. Thank you. Anybody else? Fifth hand, sixth hand. God bless you. Seventh hand. God bless to my left. Amen. Anybody else? Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Let him know we're glad to have him in the family of God. Amen. Well, before we dismiss, we have some gifts we want to give you. We have some announcements. But before we do that, let's have our ushers take their positions. And we're going to get ready to receive our Sunday morning tithes and offerings. If you're giving today by cash, credit card, or debit card and need an offering envelope, lift your hand as high as you can. The ushers will come by and give that to you. We want to thank you for partnering. You know, tithing is a covenant thing that brings you into the membership and connection to what God is doing. It's just not in Malachi 3, which is in the law, but it's also before. It's also in Hebrews 7, which is New Testament. It identifies by what covenant line you are connected to. That's why Jesus is the high priest, Hebrews 7, establishing a new covenant, a new line, a new lineage, not by the Levitical law of priests, but from another line. Offerings are based on what God speaks to your heart. Also, if you're techie, you can give by technology, and that's texting the amount and the word HOPE to 45888. You can give through PayPal. You can give through the Cash Me app. You can give through Planning Center, through our HOPE Church app. many options. We encourage you to just simply pray, Lord, what do you want me to do? And obey. Operate at your level of faith, Romans 14. Operate at your level of faith and watch as you obey God. We seek first the kingdom of God. Do it God's way. His blessings come into your life. Amen. Amen.